Such a privilege to welcome Lauren to minister to us this morning. Now, Hester's actually got an amazing testimony. Lauren was her, when we did the Liberty Seminar back in Stellenbosch, that's all about freedom and deliverance. And so Lauren was actually Hester's facilitator, and it was a tough course for both Lauren and Hester, because Hester had to deal with a lot of stuff. And it was just amazing how she experienced deliverance, and how when Lauren prayed for her, she really experienced a lot of freedom and a lot of deliverance in her life. And so I've seen Lauren as when she was a student still back in the day, when she was less on fire than she is now. She was very on fire then, but she's even more on fire now. But Lauren's really got a gift, and she's going to share just a little bit about the story of how this Wholeheartedly Free came about, and the book that she's compiled, and all the testimonies. So I trust that you guys would be encouraged this morning by the testimonies of these people, and just of her own life, and that each one of us have a story to tell and have a testimony. And so I'm trusting that if you need deliverance this morning, if you need freedom, the Spirit of the Lord is here working through Lauren this morning. I really believe it. So just open your hearts this morning as we really receive from Lauren. So we're going to just watch a video clip, and then she's going to come up. And so at the end of the video clip, I want you to give her the most amazing, amazing welcome that she has ever received in her life. Okay, because aren't we an amazing family here this morning? Who thinks we're an amazing family? She doesn't think so yet, okay? She can't clap because she hasn't seen anything yet, okay? But I think we must give Lauren an amazing welcome when she comes up here. But let's watch the video first, and then we just open our hearts to see what God is going to do, because I'm very expectant this morning. I trust you are too. So thanks, Richard. You can play.
Let's just start off with prayer. Oh, Father, thank you, God, that today you want to come and you want to meet each one of us in the midst of our stories, Father. God, thank you that you're going to take us, Lord, from glory to glory. Father, you want to pour out more of your Spirit inside of our hearts, God. And Lord, you want to give us the kingdom, Father. You want to give us peace and righteousness and joy in your Spirit, Father. And we just say yes to whatever it is that you've called us for, Father. Whatever it is that you're taking us through, God, to prepare us for glory, Father. We say yes, Lord, to trials and tribulations, Lord, because we get to just take part, Lord, in the suffering, Father. Because when we do, Father, we are a broken vessel, Lord, and your glory rests upon broken vessels, Father. Lord, you don't look to hearts that are proud, Father. You look to hearts that are in desperate need, Father, for you in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our brokenness, God. And so we just say, Spirit, come and move through us today. Come and do what it is that, only you can do. In Jesus' name. I do have stuff on my heart that I want to share that God just showed me in preparation for coming here this morning, and I will throughout the service, but I just want to share a bit about the book. That video, I've seen it 20 times, but it gets me every time, because these women were so bold and so brave in sharing vulnerably in what their stories were. So I'm just going to read the back of the book, and it'll give you the best explanation of what it's about, and I'll share a little bit more. It says, we all have a story to tell. Do you guys believe that? Like, you have a unique story. It's not the same as the person next to you. God ordained it that way. Journey along with 12 women and experience stories many of us can relate to through their perspective. Wholeheartedly Free is a compilation of real stories told by real women. They openly share from their most intimate experiences of dealing with depression, fear and anxiety, control, shame, adoption, pregnancy, birthing, addiction, sickness, relationship, trauma, loss. While their stories range a number of different topics, these women have one thing in common: navigating, or rather being navigated, towards true freedom and wholeness. Seeing the loving hand of Jesus transform them from darkness to light, from abandonment to acceptance, and from self-reliance to surrender. I was pregnant with my first son. I'm now pregnant with my second son. My husband is a faithful fan of the calling that is on my life, and so he so often encourages me, just to pursue what God has. And he said, we're going to go to Bloom, we're going to go to Durban, wherever God sends us. I'll watch Benjamin, you do your thing. And, you know, and it's just so freeing because I used to so fear getting married because what if my wings were clipped? You know, what if I couldn't live out the passion in my heart? And I remember just a quick story. Stefan and I were both going on a mission trip to Rwanda. We weren't dating at the time. And he was 5 years younger, and I just sort of thought, there's no way he's going to notice me this older. I've been waiting forever. I felt all my 20s, met him at 29, which is still actually very young. But when you've been waiting a long time, it feels like forever. and I remember him saying to me, well, I was still deciding whether I was going to go. And he said, well, why are you not going to go? I mean, obviously you should go. There's nothing else you're going to do in Joburg. And I said, I sort of have a feeling that if I go on this mission, then they're going to ask me to help lead. And I just want to take a backseat. You know, and he looked at me and he said, Lauren, you're not a backseat kind of girl. And I was like, I'm going to marry you. I like you. En hy sê van is Kronee, ons van is Kronee, en ek praat bietjie Afrikaans, en ek weet julle is lekker Afrikaans, maar ek gaan in Engels praat vandag, is dit reg? Okay. My heart driving into the Free State. You guys live in such a beautiful place. The peace of God rests on the state. It is amazing, just the beauty, and what the Free State carries, what this province carries, what Bloemfontein carries. I really believe God is saying, I'm going into the word now because I feel that's where God is leading me, but I'll get back to the book, is he sees the hungry hearts. Stefan and I were praying this morning and we felt there are many of you here that are desiring more. You've come and you've walked with God for a long time, but there's a question in your heart to say, is there more? God, is there, I've been saved, I've got filled with the Spirit, but I have a desire for the unknown. I have a desire to see you move. I have a desire to see the power of God. The power of God, not just things that were spoken about in the Bible, but things that I can see happening around me. And today he said, Lauren, I want you to see those hungry hearts, and I want to meet those hungry hearts. I want to pour out more of my Spirit, and I just see over this church that God is going to open the heavens. He is going to you're going to have encounters with the Spirit that are going to sometimes have you question, what is this? You know, you're going to say, does the Spirit move like this? How does the Holy Spirit move? But I want to encourage you to trust the one. You do not fear the one you're intimate with. I remember God saying, do you want more of me, Lauren? Do you want to? And I'd already been saved for 12, 13 years, but he was saying, do you want more? Do you want to see more of my kingdom? Do you want to see my face? Just that word that came, you know, do you not just want to see my promises, but do you want to see me like Moses did? You know, and I thought, sure, that's quite an invitation. But what does that look like? You know, what does that look like in our environment where people go, just don't be too spiritual, or just have a nice, you know, life. Like, just have a nice life. And I just know God is calling us. Just like someone said to me when I first became a parent, they said, all you need to do is raise your children to be socially acceptable. You know, good manners, and, you know, I thought, that's noble. But I want my child to be a social reformer. I want them to be able to stand up for Christ, to be able to transform their environment. And so that means that God is sometimes going to take us through valleys. He's going to take us and he's going to bring the fire upon us because he's going to burn away the things in our hearts that are not from him. You know, he's going to burn away those things that keep us paralyzed, that keep us. And I had two dreams on Friday night, and I just felt God is saying that he's really going to deliver people from fear today, that he wants to come and bring a deliverance of a fear that keeps you living just in a mundane, you know. And we all have to ask ourselves this question all the time, because it doesn't matter what your influence is or where you are, he has, the anointing and the glory of God doesn't just rest on pastors. It rests on anyone that is willing to say yes to a greater call. But that sometimes means that we need to go into the unknown. It sometimes means that we're going to be challenged beyond our comfort. But he says, trust him. He will guide you and trust you. You can trust him in the process. Okay, so that's just on the side. I haven't shared that with any other churches, but I just thank you, Father. I speak over this church, Lord, that you will pour out your spirit, Lord, in a new way. Father, I just see this church as a city on a hill. Lord, a light that cannot be hidden. God, that the lost and broken in the valleys will say, I need to go to that city up there on the hill. That is where I can find food, where I can find shelter, where I can find comfort, Father. Lord, this church will be known, Lord, as a place, Lord, of the presence of God, Lord, a place of safety, Lord, a place of community, God. And I just thank you, Father, that you will send, Lord. We don't need to, we don't need to strive, Lord, in growing. We just need to let out the fire in our hearts, Lord. We need to let out our stories, God. And as we do, people say, I want what you have. Come. Well, come with me. Come. Yeah, and so we just thank you for this, God, in Jesus' name. Yeah, thank you, Alistair and Hester, for inviting me here. You guys are steadfast in your faith. You know, if I think of Alistair specifically, there's such a, it's like Peter the Rock. You know, you are consistent in your faith. And I just know God just will give you so much more. He'll increase what he has given you because you're unwavering. You know, you just, you've got your eyes on Jesus. You're fixed on the kingdom. And, you know, and so I just want to honor you for that. Wholeheartedly Free was a vision God gave me when I was 5 months pregnant with Benjamin. And at that time, I'd been walking with God for a long time, and I was like, bag that vision, put it on the shelf, not going to have any capacity. I mean, it's the first child. Most parents will know, you're just trying to, like, get through learning how to, you know, do this parenting thing, which is such an honor and such an amazing opportunity. But when Benjamin was 3 months old, God said, it's time. And I was like, I actually started laughing. I thought, really? I'm like, it's time now. I have no capacity. And God knew, because if I had given this vision, if he'd given me this vision 5 years ago, it would have been about me. It would have been about my glory and what I could bring to the table, you know, and what I was able to do in my years of working at Deloitte and my Excel spreadsheets and my project management. And but God gave me something in the midst of a time of brokenness and a time of going, it's only about grace, Lauren. When I give you a platform, when I give you a vision or a promise, I want it to be by the grace of God that it comes to pass, because I want the glory to be pointed to myself, because I want people to see me in the midst of it. I want it to be beyond what man can do. And so I said, it took me about a month to say yes, and within, I'd say, 4 or 5 months, we put the book together, which for me was just a miracle in itself. I had people say to me, don't be so hard on yourself. You don't need to launch in November. Just do it in February next year. And I was like, you know, sometimes God asks you to do these things, and you're like, that is impossible. And he's like, yes, it is impossible, but I'm going to make it happen. Yeah, and so the book is really 12 women who have gone into a very bold place and sharing, like I said, their stories, you know. And the book is written in a way that it is for the unbelievers. You know, that's actually the target market. It's a great outreach tool. We all know someone with depression. We all know someone that has a loss or whatever. And it's a birthday gift, a non-threatening, you don't need to Bible bash them. Give them the book and trust that they'll read it. We've had so many testimonies coming. Just one of them was, and a girl actually came to me last week Sunday, and she said she'd just come back from a missions trip, and you know, she's on fire, and she's just seen these salvations and healings, and her very close cousin came to her and said, Mihi, I've decided to convert to Islam. And she was sort of shocked, because you know, her cousin was supposed to be a Christian as well, and where did this come from? But she felt God saying, shh, just love her. Don't preach at her, just love her. And Mihi had bought the book, and she was reading it, and she finished it around Christmas time, and it happened to be on the coffee table. And this cousin came and said, oh, I need something to read. I see you were reading this book. Can I read it? Mihi said, sure, read it. There we go. Didn't say anything more about it. And about a week later, just as she's reading, because they'd spent the holiday together, she just sees this change in this cousin, and eventually they have a conversation about this converting, and she says, you know what, I can't deny the power of God. You know, I can't convert. I know Jesus is real. I know that this is the journey, and this is my faith. And I just thought, wow, you know, the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And Jesus just comes and meets us when we read and listen to testimonies. So I want to just ask, is there anyone that has been going through a tough time and you just need some hope? You just need some hope. Is there anyone like that? Okay, here we go. That book's yours. You can enjoy it. We will be selling the books at the back. They are 200 Rand for students, 150. If you don't have cash here, please just take a book and we'll write down your details. You can EFT later. Okay. But today I'm actually going to share about the power of your story. So we can open to Psalm 107. Okay, it says, this is from the NIV version, not virgin, version, which I have got wrong before. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. The ESV version for foe says trouble, those he has redeemed from trouble. So telling your story, really, you know, I mean, I'm using the word story because sometimes we use the word, you know, it's really your testimony. It's really, how have you, a testimony is an account of something. What have you been exposed to? What have you seen? If you go to the court of law, you share of what you have seen. What was your account of the situation? And they're saying here, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. If you truly know what you have been redeemed from, redeemed means gain or regain possession in exchange for payment. So the possession of our lives were given over to the enemy when Adam and Eve did their thing in the garden. But there was a payment that was made that gave God, he regained possession over us when Jesus died on the cross. And so it's just that thing of, for myself, my mother had an affair before I was conceived, and then I was conceived. I don't know how that happened, but anyway, I was conceived, and so throughout my mom's pregnancy, my dad thought I was someone else's child. So I received rejection, you can imagine, the rejection in the womb, to the point that my gran had to tell my dad, she has my fingers, my dad's mom. she is a Mirand. I'm my dad's child. And so I grew up without a dad. He left when I was 6 months old, and I saw him again when I was 3, and just constant rejection, constant sort of disappointment around male figures, and you can imagine what trouble that causes. You know, in your life growing up, you're constantly performing and striving for approval. Anything will go, any form of acceptance, any form of approval, any form of comfort, and you so often compromise. And when Jesus came to save me, for 7 years, he did heart surgery with me around the father wound. He came and he said, give me your shame and I'll give you honor. Give me your abandonment and I'll give you acceptance. And it was this process that he went through where he would just come and pour out just what was done at the cross. And I, in that time, my hardened heart, my independent, strong female side was softened. It was surrendered. It was accepted into the Father. And I was given a husband. I waited for him. I'm so thankful I didn't meet him before I did, because it would have been really tough in our marriage. I think I would have destroyed and controlled and all of that. But because God came and redeemed and he healed and he brought me out of trouble, I was at a place where I could receive this man. My husband is my leader in every way. He does not that I tried just because I'm submitted to God, but if there's any form of control manipulation, he gently does not allow it, you know. And I love that because it makes me feel safe. You know, he guides me in everything. And this is my story. This is one of my testimonies of God just healing me. And you know, I so overflow with the goodness of God that I can't help but tell my story. You know, I can't help but say I've been redeemed, I've been healed, and therefore I'm telling my story. And I think so often we have this damper on sharing your testimony. you know, because it's like this, oh, now I've got to share my testimony, and what if this, and what if that, you know. But if you just, if you share from an overflow, do you understand? It's a place of, oh, just as this gentleman was saying, the goodness of God. Do you know how great God is? Do you know how good he is? And when that is bubbling up with inside of you, then it overflows, and it is sweetness to the listener. It is honey to their ears. It's not condemning, I don't have what you have. Do you know what I mean? It's an overflow of the heart. And so it's really a form of thanksgiving. When you share your testimony, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And then it says, let the redeemed tell their story. So a form of thanksgiving, just like the word that came this morning, is we look to Jesus, we see his face, we encounter him, and then we share. You know, we share from that place. Okay, so the second scripture I want to go to is Hebrews 12, verse 1. We all know the scripture. What is Hebrews 11 about? Okay, yes, it is about faith. What about faith? It's accounts of faith. It's, when I read this Hebrews 12, God was just highlighting Hebrews 12, and I was meditating on it, and I thought, then he said, well, what is Hebrews, who's, because it says we've got this cloud of witnesses, and often the scripture, you know, we shouldn't always isolate the scripture, you know, it flows onto each other. And so he said, well, look at Hebrews 11. And I saw a count of Abraham and Moses. And anyway, I'll get back there, but let's read the scripture. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I was sitting there and I just started laughing as I was preparing, because I saw this great cloud of witnesses. I saw me running this race, and there's Abraham, you know, with his beard and all his children, and Moses with his staff, you know, and it's this great cloud of witnesses that's saying, I'm cheering you on, you know. Lauren, I dare you to believe. I dare you to trust that author and finisher of your faith, because there is an account of God's faithfulness. We are in our lives as we hear God taking us into something, as we receive a word, a promise, and something he wants to give us. As we go through difficult times, we're trusting for promotion, houses, children, whatever it might be. This cloud of witnesses is saying, he is faithful. You know, there is an account of his goodness. There is record of God's character. And that is what you can base, that's what you can look to when you go into the unknown, when you start believing God for the impossible. There's an account of those that have already seen. And many of them didn't know. They didn't have the answer before they stepped out in faith. Don't you want to sometimes, you're like, sure, God, what you're saying there is quite big, but can you just show me the end line? Let me see, does it turn out good at the end? Because if it does, then I'll take the step, you know. And so often God says, I'm not going to show you. I'm going to give you a blank canvas. And I want to say to some of you today, you've been waiting for a long time. You've been waiting for things. You've been wrestling with God. You've been pressing in. And the waiting is so needed. You know, the way we want to finish something quickly, but there is so much of himself that he portrays in the waiting. There's so much of his character that he reveals in us and transforms in us as we wait upon him. Okay? And it's an active waiting. It's a waiting, not one day. I remember I was so sure God was going to bring me a husband. I don't know why I'm on this husband thing. Is anyone trusting for a husband here? No, don't answer. Okay. Or a wife. We'll pray for you later. But it was a big journey of faith for me. I had people say, I wonder who's going to marry Lauren, you know. And God knows. But in that waiting, I became passive. It was almost, I know God is going to provide. I know he's going to provide. He's good. And I think I'd become numb to the waiting. I'd become numb to God's character and his goodness in the waiting. And so it was almost like I didn't actively expect. And I remember God saying to me one time, he said, you know I will provide, but you're not expecting anything. Because if you're expecting something, then you're open for disappointment. And I thought, sure, you know. Because then it actually means that I don't think he's actually good. You know, I don't actually trust that he is good, that if he's calling me to expect him for something, then, you know, then he, in his way, in his timing, whatever it looks like, but I will keep on trusting. So I just want to encourage you to just keep on waiting and trusting. That was also on the side, but didn't plan for that. Okay, so back to the story and testimonies and the formulation of the testimonies and how God does that. The scripture says, fixing your eyes onto Jesus. Okay. To me, fixing your eyes, I know on my wedding day, by the grace of God, I was a virgin when I got married, and my husband was as well, but he had his eyes fixed on me during the dance, the whole